Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God. My name is Pastor Marquise, and we are a non-denominational church led by the living and active Word of God in the heart of Seattle, Washington, by Pastors Harold and Annis Faye Franklin. Whether this is your first time, second time, be sure to subscribe and share this with those that need it. Now join me and be ready to live and learn from the Word of God.
Dear God, we just thank you, dear God, for this time. Heavenly Father, we pray that, number one, you be glorified, dear God. Not me, not any of us, God, but we come to lift your name up. And your word says when we lift you up, you will draw all men unto you, oh God. So we just pray, dear God, that as I preach this sermon, dear God, that you would even allow the Holy Spirit to go further and beyond what I say, dear God, to be able to touch and impact those who are listening tonight. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I was praying a long time, and it's funny because, you know, after you preach a while, you think it gets easier and easier, but there's the times where, well, at least for me, I know that I want to preach what God wants me to preach. There'll be so many things like, man, I can preach this. And I'm like, man, okay, God, until I hear you give me the go, I'm going to keep on praying. So I didn't even get the sermon until about 2 o'clock today. And I was just praying. I went to the studio and just prayed and prayed and prayed until I heard God's voice clearly say, "What do you believe?" And that was a sermon. And my dad started saying some stuff that was in line with it. So I'm like, yes, confirmation. Because that's how God works. And he likes to confirm things. Amen. When you get a bill paid, you want it to be confirmed. Because if it wasn't confirmed, that means it really wasn't paid. But God confirms his word, amen? So I'm going to ask you this. What do you believe? It's interesting because your beliefs will determine the life you live and the things you pursue in life. If you believe something enough, your whole life will be wrapped around that one thing. If I believe I'm great in any area of my life, that is probably going to be the area that I spend the most time in. I say everybody believes something, whether they know it or not. A lot of people don't know what they believe. Have you ever asked somebody, hey, what do you believe? And they don't know?
Yeah.
That's scary. That's scary because they can't even, like one of the things that I always ask if I'm ministering to people, what do you believe? And the answers are really crazy. Like when they start, then I'm like, you believe that? Like, you told me this is what you believe. And they're like, no. So they're even confused on what they believe. And that's the enemy's job, is to confuse people on what they believe. From day one, Eve and Adam were told one thing, and they believed that. God told them, don't do this. They believed it. But the devil came in and said, did he really say that? He changed what they believe.
Yeah.
And that's the devil's job today, to continually distort the belief systems of believers and to keep people from understanding who God really is. Amen? So in the Bible, Jesus, he dealt with the disciples. He always was like, what's wrong with you? With you people with disbelief, come on. Right? And I'm going to talk about some of those things that they had issues with believing, but I'm going to break down a whole bunch of things. Like, when God gave me this, I know this is going to take a while, because it's not going to get done today. Amen? But this belief thing is so crucial to us as believers, not only for us to know it, but so we can share our belief system with those who don't know about God. Amen?
Amen.
So, we're going to go to this right here. It says, belief. This is the definition. It says to accept something as true, to feel sure of truth, or to feel sure of the truth of. And then it gives you a definition. Then it says accept the statement of someone as true, have faith, especially religious faith, and feel sure that someone is capable of a particular action. Then I look at number two. This is interesting because even in the dictionary about belief, it says to hold something as an opinion, or think or suppose. Now it's interesting because some people suppose that God is real. I suppose he's real. But what is the difference between suppose and believe? Even though in that definition it says some people suppose. So there has to be a difference in the way that you believe. When I believe something, we always say we can take it to the bank, right? That means if you ain't got nothing in your bank, you got to either believe it or not, right? So if I take this to the bank, they're going to know if this is real or not. We have to believe something and know that it's real even before we take it to the bank. We hear a lot of sin is believing, but in the Word of God, that's a bad thing. Seeing is believing. We should see God at work, but we shouldn't always have to see to believe.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
And I said this, God has to change our innate philosophies, the things that we grew up knowing, believing, because your belief system, and I know this is kind of hard to say, is wrong. Your belief system is wrong because your belief system was created in sin. And it's, you know, people, it's not a popular thing to say you're wrong. Even today in school, you can't tell kids they're wrong. If 2 + 2 = 6, no, that's not the answer I was looking for. You can't tell them they're wrong. That's not it. But there are things that are wrong in our life that we have to allow God's word to correct. Amen?
Amen.
So God has to change our innate philosophies or the things that were in us that we believed. Let's go to John chapter 20, verse 24 through 31. And this is Thomas's belief system. All right? Now, a lot of people, we kind of shoot down Thomas, but I'm going to show you how we all can relate with Thomas. Say it again, John. This is the New Testament, John chapter 20, verses what? 24. Verse 24. All right, it says, here we go. I had to change the. It says, now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. All right? The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the prints of the nails and put my finger in the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. All right? So Thomas's, we're going to finish this, but Thomas's system, we show what his system is. I have to see it to believe it. Right? Now, even though all the disciples, and since my dad's a lawyer, we get to see how this thing works. When you have 11 witnesses that all say the exact same thing, right? They all say, man, we saw him, and this one person doesn't want to believe, then that's an issue. Even though he wasn't there, right? Now, it's interesting because you got to think that Thomas was with these disciples for a long time. Right?
Yeah.
He knew who they were. So why would he think they're lying? Right? I'm just saying, like, he was with Jesus for a while. He was with the disciples for a while. And they say, hey, Jesus is alive, all of them. And Jesus even told them that he was going to die and raise up. That's what Jesus told them. He said, man, look, I'm going to have to go. They're going to come get me. I'm going to die, and I'm going to raise back to life. Now, all of the disciples didn't get it. But then when the other ones are saying he's up, they should be like, man, he's up. Okay, cool. Where is he? That should have been Thomas's initial reaction. But like us, we have issues that keep us from believing. Somebody, man, told us lies growing up, so now we got to find out the truth for ourselves. Right? I don't believe it until I see it. Like I said, seeing is in the world. We always say seeing is believing. If you're good at sports, we got to see it. Now, I don't believe you until I see something. Right? But in this case, this hindered his belief. Seeing. And let's look what the Word of God says after that. It says, the other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So not only did they tell him, they say, we have seen him. So you should believe it because we've seen it. So he said to them, unless I see I already read this, but I'm going to read it again. Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, that's interesting. It didn't happen right away. That's very interesting. 8 days, did he have to get circumcised or something? I don't know. 8 days is a circumcision period. So, something had to happen. But it says, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. That's interesting because he walked through the door. That's why he had to say peace. Like, yo, hold up. Chill out. This is me. Peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here. And look at my hands and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Now, it's interesting that it says that. Well, let me actually finish this chapter out. It says, and truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But it says, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now, it's very important that we catch this because none of us have personally seen Jesus. Right? We live in a day and age where some people were like, man, I just want to see Jesus. It's too late. That was 2,000 years ago. You would have had to get to see that Golgotha, you know what I'm saying? Golgotha, wherever he was at, on the hill with the cross. That's the only way that you would have seen him. And you might have seen him ascending after that. 500 witnesses. Once again, we're talking about a court of law. 500 witnesses said they saw Jesus go back to heaven after he was dead and rose up. 500 people. So what that shows us is there is enough witnesses, but even with the witnesses, you still have to convince the jury. Right? The jury has to be convinced, man, are those witnesses for real? And that's a whole other message. Our witness has to be real. It has to be real because the jury is out. They're in the back wondering, is God for real? Are these people for real? And we have to show them we believe this thing. Amen? But it said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. What does that mean? We cannot see God, but because of the word of God, we must believe in him. Pastor Willie was saying we have to just simply believe. That's the main ingredient in Christianity is belief. Believe would help your faith because, oh, ye a little faith, just believe. We hear that a lot. So believing in God is important, even though we can't see him. And then I will say this. We can see how he works in our lives, but we can't see God. And then I would say everybody wants to see God at work in their lives. Amen. Thomas, we look at Thomas as a bad disciple, but most of us, we haven't experienced God like that. We had to experience God even with my, he said, I don't believe because I don't see. We have many different things why we don't believe. I don't believe God because you allowed this issue to happen to me when I was a child. That's why I don't believe. Then God has to come tell you, well, that happened because of this, because we live in a sinful world, and I shielded you from this. Even though you experienced this, I still shielded you from that. But that's why some people don't believe. When I talk to some people when they believe they're atheists, it's because, why does God allow bad things to happen, you know, in another state? Or in over here, why does God allow bad things to happen? That should help you believe that there is a God. Because as much as there is a God, there is a devil. And the devil is at work to stop your belief. Next time somebody says that to you, say, well, really what that is the enemy trying to stop you from believing in God. That right, if that's it, you need to get over that. and allow yourself to believe that there is a God. Believing is key, y'all. Amen?
Amen.
And then it said, like, I really like verse 31, but these, and it says there were so much things, they couldn't write everything Jesus did.
That's right.
I mean, just imagine if we had more. Most of us wouldn't read it anyway. We don't read that much of the Bible, right? But if there was more stories in the Bible about what Jesus did, I mean, when we get to heaven, if we talk to the disciples, we'd be like, what else did Jesus do? Like, that's going to be a great conversation. Right?
Yeah.
Like, to me, that blows my mind that, you know, some people will look at this and be like, whoa, there was some scriptures that weren't in the Bible and blah, blah, blah. No, they didn't. They chose not to write it because they said, what is written in here is enough for you to believe. It's enough. What is in the Bible is enough for us to believe who God is.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
So we're talking about what do you believe? What do you believe? Because there's already enough in the Bible, but you got to believe the Bible to believe in God.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to go to this real quick, even before we get going. It's a battle for your belief. Even after you see God work, many people still don't believe in God. God has done this and that in your life, and then it's like, I need to do something else. God, I only believe you if you do this in my life. And the disciples had that same battle. Let's go to John chapter 15, verse 32. We're talking about believe. So John chapter 15. I'm sorry, John chapter. What was it? John chapter 15, verse. All right, hold up real quick. Let me find that scripture. Okay, it is actually Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. I'm sorry about that. I was going through John scriptures and then this Matthew one popped up. So, this is Jesus feeding the 4,000. And let me give you some backdrop to this story. This is after Jesus already fed 5,000. All right? So, Jesus already fed 5,000. He was upset with the disciples because they didn't believe it would be done. Right? Then he said, go to the other side. And then he walks across the water. That's my story. Catches them in the middle of the night. And you out here all this. Now they're somewhere else. And it says this. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Now I was talking about God requires more. And one of the things for us was compassion. Remember that? God requires us to live a life of showing compassion to people that are like, there's nothing worse than, you know, even the plight for African Americans with this Ferguson stuff and everything like that. We should be moved with compassion to try to help somebody. I'm not telling you to go all the way to Ferguson to start a riot or start marching or anything like that. But let's be moved with compassion to know that we have to do something about our youth. Even if it's just one, we have to do something. Amen. But it said, Jesus said, I have compassion. That's just a side note, okay? I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Now, they fasted 3 days, right? That's really what that says. They were with Jesus. They were not eating. Some people need to fast for God to see compassion. I'm just saying. All right, and it says, and I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Now it's interesting because, like I said, he already fed 5,000. So after the 5,000 had been fed with a little, right? You would think the disciples are like, man, all right, God, Jesus, we'll get the scraps and let's just do it again. Like, I know you can do it again, right? He fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Not only 2 fish, it wasn't 2 salmons. It was 2 small fish, right? That's what the Bible says. He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish. That was the 5,000. So then Jesus is like, okay. Then Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. Now it's interesting because here they have more to feed 4,000 than they did when they fed 5,000. This is interesting. Like, I don't know if people catch this kind of stuff, but to me, it's like, how come he didn't do it with 4 loaves of bread and 1 fish? This is smaller than the other people. But this, what this does show is that God doesn't matter what you have. He can still make it work. He can still make it work. You give your gift to him, he can make it work. Amen.
Amen.
Let's say it says, so he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them and gave them to his disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left. Now we just had Thanksgiving, and the best thing about Thanksgiving is leftovers. The disciples got the leftovers. They had 7 baskets. Now those who ate were 4,000 men besides women and children. And he sent away the multitude, got into a boat, and came to the region of Magdala. Now, the reason why I brought this up is because the disciples, like us, have seen God at work in our lives. But for some reason, even when we are faced with the same thing, we're like, God, how can you get this done? God, I don't know if you can do this, God, because this is just too big, even though we did it for you 2 weeks ago.
Yes, exactly.
But it begins to attack, the devil begins to attack your belief system, because if you don't believe, you're not going to trust God. And then when you don't trust God, you're going to go do things in your own strength. Then you're going to get messed up. Then you're going to cry out, God, I messed up. Can you help me? And he's going to be like, okay. He's going to put you back in that same position. And he's going to tell you, I can do it. And then you got to either trust him or go do it in your own strength again.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just do circles.
Yeah.
Stay in circles because you don't believe that God is a just rewarder of those who believe in him. That's what the word of God says.
Yeah.
So our belief is very important.
That's right.
Even if you haven't seen God do it before, as God grows you in your faith, as you continue to mature in God, I don't know what your situation is right now, but you should know that, man, okay, God, I expect you to do it.
Yeah.
Now, I will say there is going to be doubts. Doubt never leaves. But instead of grabbing a hold of doubts, we stiff arm doubt.
Yeah.
And say, I don't need you. I will trust God. Like, when you get this in your spirit and say, I'm going to trust God despite what I see, despite how I feel,
yeah,
despite what other people were telling me, I'm still going to trust God. Then you got this belief thing down.
Yeah.
And the disciples had to learn this. Though, I don't think we're just going to get this tomorrow. I don't expect you to get it tomorrow. But if you grab a hold of God's word, even if you don't really believe it, and you're saying, God, I saw how you did this for the disciples.
Yeah.
I saw how you did this for the 4,000. I believe that you can do this for me.
Yeah.
Help my unbelief.
Yes, sir.
Help my unbelief. Help all the things that don't, like, that is something that we got to constantly pray.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that we know that we believe that God is powerful.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I was talking to my friend Rob yesterday, and he was, did anybody heard of 5 percenters before? Now, what 5 percenters they believe is simply they believe that they are gods. That's what they believe. They're a god, so they can do whatever they want. And his story is kind of funny because he was like, I punched him and knocked him out. And I'd be like, if you God, you ain't supposed to be knocked out. You know, and Rob is a funny guy. But that instant can show them that they're not God. A lot of people throw the word God out just like, oh, you're God, right? Now, don't go punching nobody. All right, just as a disclaimer. But I knew a 5% who gave his life to God when he was in a situation where he could not do it on his own. Yes. You're going to get to a situation, all of us will get to that place where we can't do it. In our own strength, even with all the resources we have, you can call all the people. You might call your millionaire uncle, hey man, I need $2,000. And he's like, I ain't got it. What, you a millionaire? It don't work. All your resources won't work because God is trying to get you to a place where you would trust him. Yeah. Amen? I'm just saying, you put all the work in, but you can't do it because God wants to show you that he is God. Mm-hmm. And you have to allow God to do that.
Yeah.
I even look at, we were talking earlier at the men's breakfast about some churches, they preach messages that are full of blessings. I go, just try God, he'll bless you. If you're broke, he can get you fixed up, you know, and stuff like that. But like, I believe that the gospel is more than just for broke people. I believe that wealthy people should still know who God is. I believe that people that have never been broke a day in their life can still serve God. But see, even them, they're going to have to get to a place where their money can't save them. I remember the testimony of Deion Sanders, man. He, after winning the Super Bowl, the pinnacle, he had all this money. He tried to commit suicide. Because he was like, this is what I worked my whole life for. And this is it? Like, after the Super Bowl party and all that, it's a come down. Right? You were on a rise. It was like, yeah! You know, even Seattle, we were on a rise for a long time. People were still like, yeah, we're Super Bowl champs. Not yet. It's a whole other season. But some people work their whole lives for certain things, and when they get there, they're disappointed because they thought that was going to fill the void that was in their life.
Yes,
right. And that's what Deion had. He had that void still. Mm-hmm. Tried to kill himself. He couldn't even kill himself. He was like, I'm a failure at that too. Praise God he was.
Yes.
That's my favorite player. But what it shows you is that even these people that are searching for these big and vast things,
yes,
even when they get it, they're not satisfied.
Yeah.
Because there is a belief system that is already trained in you that you should really believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil does any and everything he can to remove that from you. We look at Romans chapter 1, it says, by creation, men should believe that there is a God. By all the works that God did, and you can go read Romans chapter 1 on your own so that you can get that in your spirit. But it says that people should believe that there is a God.
Yes.
But since they do not believe, they are given over to a debased mind.
Yes.
Debased means a mind that is not based on truth.
Yes.
It means your mind is filled with lies that the enemy has sent you. Lies that you're this instead of that. Lies when you're confused trying to figure out who you are. That's what the enemy does to convince you that you are not a believer. But somebody say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Your belief system will be challenged and changed by God. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to get started on this. This is going to be one of my, I'm going to go to different things that we have to believe. My question is, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about God? The things that you believe about God will dictate how you react and respond to God. Right? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We all know this story. I'm actually going to read this chapter, and then I'm going to pick up on what do you believe about God next time I'm ministering. Genesis chapter 1. And this is just one of the areas, because like I said, this series is going to be a It's going to be a series. It's going to be like a world series too. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, see, you have to believe that he did this. Because already in 2000, since around 1990, or when did Darwin come out with that thing? Earlier than that. Darwin? 18? Okay, Darwin, in the 1800s, challenged the belief system that God created the world. Right? Now we have what? And the interesting thing about Darwin, he didn't even believe what he said. He died and repented of what he said. But what we get to see is that even when you do something like that, the enemy will take it further. That's why it's important to make sure you stay rooted and grounded in God and don't try to explore new ways of things being done. Because even when you do, and even if you repent from it, there's still consequences of it. Let's say he repented and he's in heaven, but he's seeing all the people now that believe in evolution. That's a tough thing to see. That's tough, man. But it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Even as we get started with this, we have to believe that God is a creator. God is a creator. That means he can make nothing turn into whatever you need it to be. Now, he's not a genie. Let me correct you. Don't be like, God, I need $1 million and create it out of nothing. It ain't gonna happen. Can't guarantee it. And if it does happen, that wasn't God. Okay? That's not how God works. God creates things to give himself glory. Yeah. He doesn't create things so you can glorify them. And a lot of us get caught up in glorifying the things instead of the one who made the things. Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
So let's look at what happened. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now what we can see right here is there's God and the Spirit of God already. All right. Then it says, then God said, let there be light. And what happened? Now, where did this light come from? It came because he created it. And it says, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, that's basic. Like, okay, God made, it's dark outside right now. God made that dark. That's interesting because we fear that dark for some reason. But God created that. But the enemy will convince you that dark is evil. Right? Nighttime is bad. Right? But God created light. Like, we have to make sure we believe what we should be believing. Because the enemy will take even the light. Some people worship the sun. Right? But God created the sun. All right, let's keep on going. It says, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. All right. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters, which were under the firmament. And it's hard to say that word if you ain't. I need some water. From the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. So what God did, he created heaven and earth. Right? You didn't create that heaven. Because some of us, we think we can create heaven. When I die, this is what heaven's going to be like. And that's totally wrong. It says, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. Thank you. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gatherings together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. All right. It says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seeds, and the fruit trees that yield fruit according to its kind, whose seed is itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were there the third day. So God made fruit make fruit. It's interesting because fruit, he made fruit. So if you eat the fruit, when you're done with the fruit, you throw the seed away and it creates more fruit. That's what God did. Because it said its seed was in itself. Now that's very interesting. Like, we could talk about that a long time, but I don't got that much time to talk about that. That's pretty cool though.
Yeah.
God did it. He said, look, I'm gonna just do it one time. And your bananas will be there for the rest of your life. Bananas have been in existence since he created the world. Apples. Like, who makes apples? None of us can make apples. You can't make an apple out of nothing, but God can because he created them. Amen?
Hey.
It says, then God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights. Now see, this is interesting too, because we thought he already made day and night with a light, right? It's interesting because he said in day, what day was that? Day one, there was light and there was dark. But here he doesn't make the sun until this day. So the light that he had, that was him.
Yeah.
Interesting, right? It said, God set the firmament of the heavens to give light on earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, so that evening and the morning were on the fourth day. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply in the earth. So the evening and the morning were with the fifth day. So just like fruit, God allowed the animals to multiply. Right? He allowed them to be pretty much, they didn't have no bounds. Just keep on going. Salmons, keep on going, right? And I like salmon. I've been liking salmon a lot lately. But hey, we love chicken, right? We love turkey. Those birds can keep on going because God created them to do so. But if we don't believe that, we're going to believe that the egg, which came first, the egg or the chicken, right? We kind of get caught up in these things. When God came first, that's the answer. God came first and he made the first bird. But evolution will tell you it came from a tadpole, right? Started with a tadpole, that tadpole turned into a frog, the frog turned into a cat, cat turned into a dog, right? From a dog it went to a cow or something, and somehow it morphed into a human. Right, this is what they believe though, and I know I'm making fun of it as I'm saying it, and I'm believing like that. But they believe that, they try to believe something else besides God creating it. Because if they can't define it, and they still can't define evolution, but they would rather just say, hey, we have a fancy word for what we believe versus believing in the creation that God created. And the scary thing about somebody that believes that kind of stuff, or that doesn't believe that there's a God, is when they die. You guys ever saw this movie, God's Not Dead? You should read this. I'm not going to read this. You should watch the movie. I ain't even going to tell you what happened. You just watch it. Because if I tell it, I mess it up. All right, what verse am I at? Verse 26? Verse 24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth, each according to his kind. And it was so. And God did what? Made. Somebody say made.
Made.
The beasts of the earth according to his kind, cattle according to his kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to his kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our own image. Now, it's interesting, you know, there's a lot of debates on why God didn't make man. Maybe because we would have been like, well, God, make this. Can you make a pterodactyl fish? You know, can you make a rat bird? You guys ever seen that? There's a cartoon and they made rat birds. And I'm like, no, thank God he didn't make that. Right? You even make a cat dog. There was a cartoon where it was a dog one side and a cat on the other. Just imagine, they always fighting, right? But it's interesting that he didn't create man until he's almost done. It says, let us make man in our image. Now this is powerful because God's image is different than just the animal's image. Some people would just say we're the same, but we're not. God created us in his image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. All right? So even when people are not satisfied with who they are, God created you that way. Yeah. And God said it was good. Yes, you were good. I don't want to say it because sometimes he said you were good. The way he made you, he said you were good. Yes. It's very important to believe that. Some people don't believe that, so their mindset is messed up. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish you would have did. That's why he didn't create you to the sixth day. He already got things in place, and you just got to believe that he is God. It says, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of the earth, and every tree which fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything, somebody say everything,
everything
that he made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So what we get to see is that God created everything. We have to believe this. If we don't believe that God created everything, we don't believe that God exists. This is huge. Because God is powerful enough to create. He created us with a heart that if we don't know him, there's a missing link in our life. All of us. And people try to fill it with all kinds of different things. If I'm not satisfied, let me try sex. Let me try drugs. Let me try to get this job where I got the best position. Let me search these different things out. Let me look at the stars and go to Mars and be the first one on Mars. Like, they do all these things. And I'm not saying everybody that does these things, but when they do these things, some of them are trying to find who they are. And you can only find who you are in who created you.
That's right.
And that's God. Amen? I'm going to stop right there because I got a lot on this series. Like I said, I don't know how long I'm going to be preaching this. I think I'm going to beat my dad's record for a series. But we're going to talk about next time. We're going to continue on. What do you believe about God?
Amen.
I got a lot to go on that. And I got a lot more that we're going to talk about in this series. But your belief is very important. The world will challenge everything that you believe. But you have to believe the word of God. As a believer, as a Christian, you have to believe God's word. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just pray, dear God, that you would glorify tonight. Dear God, that through this sermon today, dear God, that somebody would take a stronger belief system in you. Dear God, that they would believe that you are God. That they would believe, dear God, that you are able to answer their prayers, dear God, that they would believe and that they would trust in you over themselves, oh God. Dear God, and I come against anything that is hindering people from believing. Any thoughts, any spirits of doubt, oh God. Any even things that have happened in their life, dear God, that has hindered people from believing, dear God. I pray that you would remove that, dear God. Dear God, so that they can see you for who you are. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending time with us here at New Creation Christian Center. Feel free to join our worship services on Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington, 98118. Visit our website, newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.